And I want to welcome you to the Victory Bible class this morning. How many got up this morning taking Ben Franklin's name in vain? I can't be the only one. Anybody like daylight savings time? I'm not the only one, huh? Okay. All right. We got a lot to thank Ben Franklin for, don't we? I was hoping. I don't see Roger Cox here. I was going to quote one of his favorite Ben Franklin quotes: early to bed, early to rise, fish all day and make up lies. But I don't see Roger here. Now, actually, in Roger's defense, in the original, actually, Ben Franklin said golf all day and make up lies. Okay, but in Roger's defense, Jesus never called a golfer, but he sure called a lot of fishermen, didn't he? So, Roger, if you're out there listening, there you go, man. I put in a plug for you. All right, well, good to see you guys today. Let's go over birthdays for this coming week. And, man, there's quite a few on the, let's see, let me get my bearings here. Of Artis Brown, Lola Gamble, Rita Canner, Dinah Williams, Mickey Archer, and Jennifer Collins. Does that sound right? Are we good? And we got a couple of anniversaries. Tony and Kathy. I know I saw Tony and Kathy somewhere. Yes, right here. 23 years? Great, awesome. Sheila Ball. I know I saw Sheila somewhere. 32. Is that right? 32. This is why it's good to come to Sandy School and have announcements. All right, so there you go. All right, awesome. So our new pastor's here today. Make sure. Oh yes, 39. And is that what day is that? You both said the same day, right? I couldn't hear. Okay, all right. Just making sure. 39. Congratulations. That's awesome. If you would, let Becky Roten know that, because it is not on our list, and so we don't have that information. That way we'll have you for next year. All right. Anyone else that I missed? Anniversaries, birthdays? Nope. Not this week? All right. So we messed up. When is it? All right. So we'll... Oh, you know what? Actually, I messed up. I read the wrong list. I'm sorry. So you all's anniversary's not this week either. Tony looks very relieved over there. Man, he was sweating it, I'm telling you. Well, it's good to laugh, my friends. Proverbs 17:22: a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I use that verse when I go visit people in the hospitals. Now, you have to be very careful. Some things are not funny, right? We've all been there with situations that are not funny. But that verse is in the Bible for a reason. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Huh? And that verse is no less inspired than John 3:16. God put it in there for a reason for us. So good to laugh. Well, let's open up in prayer and we'll move on. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for another beautiful day. The Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So thank you for this time we have to meet together. We pray for Brother Altizer here in just a few minutes as he gives us our lesson, as we open up the Word of God. And may we have open ears, open minds, open hearts, open souls to hear what you have to say for us this morning. We pray for Brother Herdman as it's his first Sunday here with us, and just bless him. I know there's so much adjustment that he and his family have to make, and just everything from learning everyone's name to try to learning the schedule and how everything works here. And I know that's a lot on him, but we pray your blessing on him, that you'd help him and you would use him and just guide him. And we thank you for sending him our way. And may we as a congregation welcome him as we should. And we pray your blessing on our class here. I know there's many class members here, And ones associated with our class, extended family and so forth, that have physical needs, a lot of physical needs on our prayer list. I know we have, I believe Eileen's having surgery, I believe this coming week, and I just pray you be with her, and I know there's others. And Father, we thank you that we can come to you in prayer. Thank you that you've given us your word that we can read and study every day. We can we need to walk closer with you, and help us this day to gain something that we can use, but perhaps something we can learn, something we did not know before. Perhaps it's a truth we've known all our lives, but just use it to hammer it home, to draw us closer to you, and maybe walk closer with you this week. Again, bless our class, bless our service, and thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this morning we've got Guy Altizer going to speak. Preacher Lassley is going to introduce him. Actually, Guy and Cookie, we go back a long ways. I was just talking with him a little earlier, and back in the 70s, we rode to school together, and they had a little Datsun, I forget the model number of it, but we see how many boys we crammed in there. Nobody wore seatbelts or anything like that, but you know what? We survived, and we had a great time. So welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you.
I've forgotten to run to school with them.
Well, they asked me to introduce Guy, and Guy and Cookie have been my good friends down through the years, as well as good, faithful church members. And I've just have a list here. Now, there may be others that when I wrote this out, but many people have been called to full-time Christian service out of this church. And I have, I'll list just some names. There's David Fox, and I understand he's pastoring now David Fox is in Greenville. And he left this church as a youth director, went down there and has done a great job in Greenville. Graham Foran, I've been to it with him in Brazil. He's gone to Brazil from this church and organized five great churches. And he organized them on what we have around here and the methods we have. And Levi Mullins has left our church and went to England, doing a great job. Scotty Carrier, Senior Scotty Carrier, and went to New Guinea and had a great ministry. In New Guinea, and my son Tori has been teaching 8 years at Crown College in Knoxville. Our daughter Laurie is pastor's wife in Pennsylvania, and then Robert Pruitt is pastor in Michigan. Any others from our church that's in the full-time ministry anywhere not now? Is anyone? Benjamin Wright over there in England. Right? Anyone else? Steph Wright, he's right. And on visitation, not visitation. There. Okay. But anyway, there's others like that, see. But it's good to have Dr. Guy and Cookie Altizer with us. I mean, they moved in to Gray at Guy taught at North Electric when he's out here. And he started coming to our church in 1970. And I'll say more about that in just a few moments. And let me give you just a list of all the things that Guy did when he got in here and got busy. He was a deacon chairman. He was a bus captain. And had one Sunday had over 100 on those buses. Guy, where did you put 100 kids? Sitting in their laps and understanding, and they'd put me and you both in jail for that today. But he was head usher, and he taught 12th grade boys, and then the Lord called him to preach. And he was called to preach in 1976 in the Mays Jackson Revival. How many of you have been here around a Mays Jackson Revival? I'm telling you, the Lord, listen, one of the things our churches are lacking today is a revival. That's why we're in the shape we're in, and our independent Baptist church are getting cold and indifferent and going the wrong way because we're not having revivals. And so you can't get anybody to come out, they say. But when you get real revival going, people come from everywhere. I found that out because we had three evangelists, Mays Jackson, B.R. Lakin, and Ron Comfort. And we had hundreds. How many of you here thought in many of those revivals? Raise your hand if you were here. We had hundreds saved in those revivals. And so Brother Herdman, our new pastor, is now listen, I know him. He went to school in Ohio with a friend of mine at Bob Jones University when old Dr. Bob was there preaching the devil out of all of us. And you've heard me say this many times, he'd get up and say, if you don't like what's going on around here, hit the 4-lane highway. So I just come off a football field. He scared me there when I used to preach like that. But let's see. Well, anyway, there's others that I'm sure we've overlooked as are in full-time Christian work. You know, you have revival and get the moving of God and the presence of God, and the Holy Spirit can call our people into His service. So that's why we need to. And Brother Herdman, I'm going to say a word about him before saying more about Guy here. But he believes just like we did on these good days. He believes in revival. He believes in standards. Believes in dressing right. The King James Version, premillennial, and the tribulation period, all that. He's a solid independent Baptist. Raised in the home of a Baptist, independent Baptist preacher. But anyway, let me get to Guy. Guy moved here in 1970 in the Tommy Hill Trailer Court, down here. And then there's a fellow there I was visiting out there, and he was sort of one of these fellows that his elevator didn't go all the way to the top, you know. And he come to me and he said, "This guy, why don't you go visit him?" He said he's got long sideburns, and he said he's got leather jacket on, and he smokes cigarettes. And he said his wife had a miniskirt on. She doesn't have a miniskirt on today. But anyway, Dr. Guy Altizer, he's now, well, let me say just another word about him. Well, I've said enough about you, Guy. You can say more. He left here and went to school at Bob Jones and then started a church in the Greenville area, Calvary Baptist Church. It was right outside of Greenville,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
And running hundreds in Sunday school. And he's done a great job for God. Can tell you more about his ministry now. It's Windows of Heaven Ministries and a mission work worldwide. Brother Guy, good to have you with us today. Devil till I die, and he's backslidden bears.
Good morning. Glad to be with you all. It brings back old memories to me and my family since we have been here so many years ago.
Keep going on.
This room is a special place. I tried to check out the storage room back of the wall here to see if the old choir loft was in there. They say it's a storage room now. But I remember a stage out here. I was telling Pastor Lastly, when we came here, we had so many people. They had chairs down the aisle and chairs across the front, all the way up to the stage. And they used to sing the first verse of a song, invitation hymn. To let the guys get the chairs out of the way, and they started the invitation on the second verse. It was a great time. I remember this place right here, as Pastor Leslie likes to tell the story on us when we lived in the trailer park. I smoked, and I got religion, so I put the cigarettes over my visor, and I couldn't wait to get to the car to light up one. So one night in the evening service, God burdened my heart, and He said, He's never spoke to me in an audible voice, but he moved on my heart. He said, "Guy, if you're ever going to be anything for God, you need to give up those cigarettes." Amen. And I came and knelt right there at the altar and gave up the cigarettes. And I took the pack on the over the visor home. I was working in Bristol installing telephone systems. And I think I had 7 packs of cigarettes in the carton on the fridge. And I took the carton up to my work center and gave them to my boss, who smoked. And I said, I don't need these anymore. And he said, "Why? What happened to you?" I said, "I gave them up last night." He said, "You'll last to the first break." God strengthened me throughout those days of quitting smoking, and I never smoked another one again.
Amen.
And I look back to that time as God moving in my heart to guide me in the right direction. I want you to turn to Proverbs 16:1. I look at this place as a place of preparation. The Bible says the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And I learned so many things here in preparation that has prepared me and propelled me through my ministry all down through the years. I remember the start of things was the boiler room gang. Superintendent of Sunday school came to me and said, "I have a group of boys that I want you to teach." And he said, "They're rough and from rough homes, and they'll be unruly, but we'll put you in the boiler room." And he said, "If you'll visit them every week, they'll come to hear you." I said, "I have no knowledge of how to teach a class." He stopped by the roadside, and we went out through the woods, and he picked off a wild berry vine. He said, "You see these fruit on here?" He said, "The closer to the main vine you get, the bigger the fruit gets." He said, "If you stay close to the Lord will put fruit in your life." He said, "If you'll teach these boys, you'll win some of them to Christ." So I took the boiler room 5 and I visited them every Saturday. And they came regularly. And I can't remember now if anybody got saved in that class. But I trust that the Word of God is still with them. We moved on to the bus ministry, and I remember Pastor Leslie teaching us how to visit a bus. He said, "You gotta be positive. When you go to the door and knock on the door, you say to the boys and girls, you will be on the bus tomorrow morning, right?" And I nodded her head, and they came in droves, and we saw many of them blessed by the Word of God. I remember so many, so clearly the time that Pastor Lasley visited our home on Lake Crest Drive over in Colonial Heights, and he came into the house and he said, "Guy, I've been praying about it, and I think the Lord would have you be a deacon at the church." I looked at him and I couldn't believe his words. And I said, "No, sir, I can't do that. I'm not worthy to be a deacon." And he said, "I think you have proven yourself to the church and to God, and I would like to recommend you as a deacon." I prayed about it and talked to Cookie about it, I accepted the position, and the Lord blessed in a mighty way. I mentioned my wife. I got to recommend her, recognize her. My wife, Cookie, you want to stand up?
He asked if I wanted to.
Her real name is Mary Ruth, but many don't know her real name. They know her as Cookie. How she got that name is her father, when he went to the hospital the first time to see her and look through the window into the bassinet, she was laying there, and he said, "That's my Cookie." And it stuck with her all these years. I won't tell you how many years, but we were recognizing anniversaries a minute ago, and in May we'll celebrate our 58th wedding anniversary. And we've been gone from here, what we figured up last night, 44 years. God called us to preach in 76, and I went to Bob Jones and finished my education in 79, went on staff at a church in Greenville, and started Calvary in 1985, and pastored it through 2003, and then retired, semi-retired. We had real needs of a new auditorium, and I had built the first auditorium, and I didn't want to do it again. So I told the guys on the deacons, I said, "Guys, I'd rather step down and step back and call a younger man so he can build the church." We now have a church property that is 25 acres of land, prime location, just off I-385. We have four church buildings, and the main auditorium is seats 1,400. We're running. We have our third pastor now, Andrew Haney. He's doing a great job, and we're probably running about 800 in Sunday school and church. I gave all of you, I hope you got one of our prayer cards. I want to tell you a little bit about our ministry and how we got called to the ministry. when I was stepping down from pastoring in 2002, folks said, "What are you going to do with yourself?" And I said, "I really don't know. I'm looking to God to give me direction, what we should do." During my pastoring years, I had the occasion to visit many mission fields and help with church planting other churches. And I knew the problems that the men had, the families had. And one morning, to be honest with you, I was a little depressed because I had come to the realization that there was too many problems that you couldn't solve all of them. And I was reading through Malachi chapter 3, if you want to turn there. How many times do you think that as a pastor I had preached on stewardship and giving and preached through this passage many times? But I remember one time after I left the church, a guy came up to me and said, "Pastor, you know what I miss most about your ministry?" And I said, "No, tell me." He said, "You always gave stewardship emphasis in January. You preached four messages on stewardship." He said, Do you know the one thing that I remembered most about your messages?" And I thought, man, 18 years, four sermons in January. How could I understand what he was remembering? I said, "No, sir. Will you tell me?" He said, "You always said when the offering plate comes by, put something in it." And he said, "Every time I see the offering plate coming by, I hear your words in my ears and I have to get out my wallet and put something in." So we taught on stewardship all these years. And I used this passage many times. But on that particular day, I was reading through Malachi in my favorite Bible lesson, devotions in the morning. And I read through Malachi 3:10. Says, "Bring all your tithes into the storehouse that you may have meat in mine house, and prove me." And those words, those two words, jumped out of the page at me. In my frame of mind, well, you can't do it. You can't meet the needs of all the missionaries and all the church planters. I couldn't do it in myself. God was saying, "If you'll prove me, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So I went downstairs to Cookie, and she was fixing breakfast, and I said to her, "I think I've got it." She said, "You've got what?" I said, "The name of our new ministry. We're going to organize Windows of Heaven and call on God to meet the needs of the missionaries." And I had a weekly Bible study with young businessmen for breakfast every Thursday morning. And I went to the next Bible study and I said to the guys, "Hey guys, I want you to pray about me with something. The Lord has laid on my heart out of the scriptures the name of the next ministry, and here's what I see it unfolding." I said, "Would you pray about that and give me advice about it?" They said they would. And the next week we came back, and there was one graphic designer in the group. He came in with a piece of chartboard, and it was covered up. And when we ate our breakfast and got to the Bible study, he said, "Guys, I've been praying all week about Pastor's idea about his future ministry, and I'd like to show you something." And this is what he unfolded. He said, "I think it will be a great ministry." I've kept that and framed it. I keep it in my office as just a really validation from a group of guys that were spiritual in nature. And the Lord has seen fit to bless our endeavors all down through the years. And we've been in the traveling ministry now for about 19 years. And we've ministered in 39 countries of the world. And the Lord has seen fit to bring thousands of dollars through our ministry to help missions. And I was looking for Brother Buddy Callahan. He's not here this morning. He travels with us. He's a great worker. He's a master in concrete. I got to tell you a little story about Buddy. I was up here one day visiting, and he said, he introduced himself to me, and he said, "I hear you take construction teams to the mission field." He said, "I'd like to go with you." So the next mission trip that we had was to England. We were renovating a church over there, and it was a Muslim outreach church. It was in the middle of a Muslim Hindu neighborhood. And the pastor said, "Guys, be very careful who you talk to on the streets out here. They'll get offended and take action against us." So in our work, we found a cabinet had all these hardback King James Bibles. They collected them for some reason. I don't know. There must have been 100 or more. So the next time I saw Buddy, he was out at the front gate. He had stopped a guy coming down the street, and he was witnessing to him. And I said, "Buddy, you need to mind the pastor's warning. You get us in trouble here." One afternoon, we missed Buddy at supper time. He had found a shopping cart out in a storage building back of the church, and he got the shopping cart full of those Bibles and went up on Main Street and it was passing out King James Bibles to all the people. He's fearless. He's also an expert concrete builder, expert in anything, but he is really expert in concrete. He went to for us in Yap a couple years ago, and he's gone back many times to Yap. They're building a Christian school over there, and we need him to go with us in November. We're contacting him last week and said, gave him the dates and said, we want you to go with us. We want you to commit to us because we're building a church in Cuba building out a cinder block and a concrete roof. So we need Buddy to go with us. So we have done many things around the world, and I got back a couple of weeks ago from Cuba doing a survey trip down there and looking over the project that we're going to do in November, and we're recruiting a team now to take 15 or 20 men down there in November to build a church. We'll go in on Saturday and minister in the churches on Sunday and work long days Monday to Friday and fly back home on Saturday. And Lord willing, we'll be able to leave them with a new church building. This kind of the way it goes. Cookie travels with me some of the time. I don't really want her to go to Cuba because of the conditions there. They're third world minus. If the politicians today could go to Cuba like I've been in the last 2 weeks, they'd change their tune. Not to be political in any way. Do you have any questions for us? By the way, I want to thank you, your church, for all the years that you've supported our ministry, and you've been so good to us, to pray for us, and we really appreciate that. I got notified last month that the church had sent a large offering to help with the expenses in Cuba. A little bit about Cuba. The way I work, we usually like the missionary to have all the funds for the building materials. We pay our own expenses to get there, eat and travel and lodging. When I met with the representative national pastor from Cuba, I met with him through Dr. Mark Vowles, who's on the staff of Bob Jones University. He introduced me to Boris Diaz. He's director of a seminary down there that trains preacher boys for church planting. I said, Boris, I need you to raise the money. Do you have an estimation of how much the building materials were cost? He said, we figured it up, and the best we can figure, it takes $6,000 of materials. I said, well, When you get that raised, we'll bring a team down and build the church. We'll pay all of our own expenses to get there and keep us there and bring us back. He looked at me and he said, Pastor, I don't know if you'll ever get there or not. I said, why? He said, your requirement of raising the funds for the building materials is way out of bounds for us. He said, you see, the average working man in my church makes $25 a month. The average doctor in my church makes $40 a month. So he said, we don't have much to live on. So raising $6,000 would be almost impossible. I said, well, in that case, I'll trust the Lord help me raise the money to buy the materials. I took him 2 weeks ago $2,000 so they could start ordering materials ahead. And your church sent a sizable offering to help us with that. And I thank you very much. Thank you for your love and appreciation for us and your prayers. Any questions that you might have? Well, if there's no questions, I promised I'd stop on time. I think I'm a little ahead, which won't be bad. The children will be glad about that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this class this morning. Thank you for these great folks that have supported us and been so kind to us all down through the years, and we thank you for the opportunity to report to the church. And I pray for Pastor Herdman as he starts his ministry in this great church, and I pray that you'd bless his ministry, that many would be reached with the gospel in the area. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.